It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 131, coming to you like a bunch of children filled up with Fanta, jumping like their life depended on it, on a bouncy castle at a birthday party. On this week's podcast, he's one of the funniest Irish people on social media. We chat to style icon, TV presenter and cookbook author James Kavanagh.
He shoots grey squirrels, grey rabbits and the occasional stray child, Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Would she drink ale? She would if it tasted like Sauvignon Blanc. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your granny telling you to wish, because the debt notices are on the local radio, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Emer emailed the podcast to say, well, lads, how are you getting on? I have a great story for you. You better, Emer, because you've built it up now. Back in 2010, my mam and dad took me and my three other siblings to Florida for Christmas. Ooh, we went to one of the those theme parks for New Year's Eve. Unfortunately, between jet lag and four kids moaning and groaning, we ended up going home early and missed the New Year's Eve fireworks display, much to my mother's dismay. My father, being the romantic he is, decided to buy some fireworks as they are legal in America. Or so he thought, from a stall he had spotted in the Walmart car park, and put on a little display for Mam the next evening. There was some grass roughly the size of a football pitch behind the house where we were staying, so he decided to do it there. He set it up and boom, fireworks, great crack. After the third or fourth firework, however, something went astray and a firework ended up shooting across the ground into dry grass. A couple of more of these happened and before we knew it, a fire had started. Q, my father and my two sisters, aged 13 and 15, grabbing buckets of water from the pool in an attempt to put out the growing fire. My mother decided it was best to ring the fire brigade, and after a few back and forths of, ma'am, you need to get your kids out of the house, and her saying, the fire isn't in the feckin' house. Not one, but two fire trucks arrived, followed by two cop cars, including the sheriff. Unfortunately for us, by the time they had arrived, my dad and sisters had managed to actually put out the fire. When my mother seen the cop cars, she exclaimed, for fuck's sake, he's going to get arrested. Not realizing, myself and my brother, aged 10 and 8, were behind her. Now picture the scene. A not so impressed sheriff, firemen looking for a fire, my poor father and sisters destroyed with soot, and two hysterical children thinking their father's going to jail. Thankfully, they could see that there had been a fire, informed Dad that fireworks were illegal in the area, and just gave him a warning. When Dad went back the next day to return the fireworks and give your man a bollocking, the stall had conveniently disappeared and the man was nowhere to be found. My mam still swears to this day, when we sit down after, she could physically see my father's heart pumping out of his chest. For 2 months before this event took place, Katy Perry had released her smash hit Firework, and that's the song we sang for the rest of the holiday. Love the podcast, hashtag save our chicken rolls.
Poor old father. By last week's topic,
hang on, you just, like, I love how one firework went wrong and into dry grass, and then three or four more did the exact same thing. The first one went in and he was like, ah, be grand.
Surely a responsible father would have looked up a YouTube tutorial or something on how to light fireworks. Come
after
on.
After the first one goes wrong, like.
Yeah, you've got to check his health and safety there. Last week's topic, pubs. David said, well, lads, just listening to this week's podcast and you were talking about Tom Maher's, pronounced Mar.
Mar.
Little known fact, there's a hatch behind the bar that goes through to the hallway, and it's where businessmen used to do business meetings, and Tom would serve through the hatch. There's also a small step as you walk in the door, and if you tripped on it walking in, Tom wouldn't serve you.
Unreal.
This is the kind of stuff we want to hear on this podcast.
And Amy said, Dirty Nelly's in Clare beside Bunratty Castle also has sawdust in the floor. So if you know anywhere else that still has sawdust on the floor, let us know.
Yeah, we're going to do a sawdust tour. Nikki was in touch. Hello, gents. Your chat about ladies and pubs on the last podcast made me think of my nan. My gran and granddad owned a pub on James's Street in Dublin for many years, and my gran was heavily involved in the business. By the sounds of it, she was a fierce landlady who who would also mammy the hard drinking regulars and make sure they went home and ate the dinner so they could resume their post at the bar without dying of alcohol poisoning.
That's only fair.
So responsible. She would also give the rowdy lads as good as they got. It was unusual for ladies to only get a glass of their preferred, or it was usual for ladies to only get a glass of their preferred drink. Only a half pint. A lady glass. Apparently, it was supposed to be more ladylike. The horror. When visiting other pubs, she used to cause a right fuss. She'd sit at the bar and refuse to snog. And when she'd order a pint, a half pint would be placed in front of her. She'd refuse it and say it's not what she ordered and demand her full pint.
Hey!
While it may seem small now, it apparently used to cause an awful scene.
Go on, Granny.
Go on, Granny. Drive it on.
Drive it on. On last week's topic of breakfasts, Danny in America said, "Good morning from the USA. You asked about pancakes in the US. In my family, growing up, they were a weekend treat. On Saturdays, my mom would just make a big stack of them."
Mom!
The fluffier, the better. Butter and maple syrup are the basics, but my mom likes jam and syrup. You can do fresh fruit or berries. They're kind of like toast. Mostly just a sweet bread to put things on. Also, we have a restaurant here that does eggs Benedict with smoked salmon on it. Really good. And the hollandaise sauce, Johnny.
Yeah, it's called hollandaise. I should have known that.
Yeah, a lot of people were delighted to correct us when we forgot the name of the sauce on eggs Benedict.
And if I'm correct in saying eggs Benedict with smoked salmon is called eggs Florentine.
Nice.
If I'm correct. Look, there'll probably be a load of emails during the week.
Not called eggs Florentine.
It's called something else. Lads,
it's not called eggs Florentine, Mom.
Whenever we try and do our American accent, it just comes out like we're in Sum 41.
Blink 182.
Some other punk band. Shannon said, "Hey
it's
guys.
It's basically spiced up mayo." Whoa!
Shannon said, "Hey guys, and Mara. On Mara's topic of breakfast, me being an American, I can say we do love pancakes or French toast once in a while for breakfast with some sausage and scrambled eggs." Very nice. But this topic is just making me hungry every time I read it. "Speaking for myself, though, that's something I might have on a weekend for a treat. I don't eat like that all the time. That being said, Johnny Smacks, not all Americans are overweight. LOL." Laugh out loud. "We do have something in American restaurants called a short stack of pancakes, which is usually only three. Not sure if you have anything like that in Ireland. By the way, the sauce on Eggs Benedict is called hollandaise sauce."
Oh, wow.
"Usually made of egg yolks, butter and lemon juice." Thank you for that, Shannon. "In Ireland, we have a breakfast roll. And it's great if you want to just get yourself some high cholesterol. It's fantastic. I do like a breakfast roll once in a while.
Egg yolks, butter and lemon juice. I did not know that's what hollandaise sauce is made of.
Went to a restaurant one day with one of my friends. And a fancy enough place in Killarney. And we're all having like brunch, I suppose, what you call it. He was like, "Fucking hell, nothing on the menu, only eggs. Jesus Christ." Your mom came down and takes order. He was like, "I'll have the French toast, please." So you do realise that's made of eggs, you idiot, like. Boys were in stitches laughing.
What, was there no like sausages and pudding?
No, I think it was like eggs Benedict and loads of like pancakes, and it was a fancy old spot now, yeah.
Damn.
Nice stuff.
"I'm coming out." Cuiva was in touch to say, on the topic of coming out in the sports place, is that what they call it, like the workplace? "I don't know if this is going to relate to the lads, but to any girls who want to hear it, I have raced internationally for over 5 years now, and the one thing I have noticed is that normally it is better when people just tell a close friend and let it come out slowly. But I have one story that annoys me. I was at an event one year in Spain, and one of the girls from the Austrian team is..."
That can be confusing.
"One of those guys is known as being gay, one of those ladies. To me, it is not a big deal. Anyway, I was out with a few people at dinner and people started giving out about the Austrian girl changing in the same room as us. Knowing that not all countries are as open to the LGBT community as us Irish, I said, if you have a problem with it, you should change somewhere else. It's not like they're staring at you or walking up to you saying hello, asking you out in the changing room. Everyone at some point accidentally looks up and quickly looks away. But also, if they do look at it, take it as a compliment." Sometimes I look at you.
Do you? No. There's not much to see. You'd be scared for life, lad.
"To me, I had to speak up to them about it, as it shouldn't be a big deal. I am friends with athletes from a few religious countries, and when I first met them a few years back, some were homophobic. I had to try to make them see that being gay or transgender or anything else doesn't make people any different to them. It's been 3 years now, and my friends are now sticking up for anyone LGBT and willing to talk to LGBT people. I should stand up. I like to think that I helped make that happen. To me, it's a waste of energy, and people should stand up for one another and call out people on their bullshit. Thanks for listening, Cuiva.
Hear, hear, Cuiva.
If you're meeting people who are from, like, really intense religious countries, that's just, that's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. Just on nakedness in the dressing room, like, that's all part of it, like, that's, you know.
It's all part of it.
Like, I remember the first time I went away with the senior hurling team in school, like, I was only a young lad. And, like, I, you know, you'd arrive to games togged out back then, like, because everybody's paranoid of shame. And then, like, there was this one lad, and he was like, do you have any shower gel? And I was like, yeah. For some reason, I had shower gel in my bag, even though I was never, like, going to shower with these guys.
You're always so prepared at games, though.
Yeah, I have everything, always. Timmy toiletries. And he was like, do you have any shower gel? I was like, yeah. Bent down to my bag to get the get the shower gel. And when I came up, it was just, like, his willy was nearly in my face. Like. And, like, I wasn't used to this. And I was like, just gave him the shower gel. I was like, you can hold on to it. I didn't even want it back. And ran out onto the bus by. I didn't know what was going on. And then the whole way home, I was thinking, like, fuck, my Willy doesn't look like that.
Every team has somebody who's super confident naked.
Yeah, but like, this lad wasn't, he wasn't packing like an absolute wangerant. Like, he was just, jeez, he was walking around with, like, swinging it around the place. Like
a walking stick.
Jesus Christ, yeah. So, like, nakedness can be off-putting for some people, is what I'm saying. She felt like I had to share that story.
Private schools.
Shane said, well, lads and Maura, just on the topic of private school students and how they can be a bit stuck up and feel a bit superior to us public school goers.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Now, listen, you know what I mean? Got a lot of disgruntled private school students onto us, but I've had a few encounters with posh private school students my age in the past that leaves a very sour taste in my mouth and makes me proud and happy that I came from a public school and didn't turn out like a spoilt, cocky, dramatic little wanker. Again, allegedly. Like this one time where the lads and myself were off interrailing for the summer and the only Irish people we met in the trip were D4 private school folk. We eventually ended up chatting to a load of them. When we told them we were from Kilkenny, it was like we were telling them we were from some fucking mystical Lord of the Rings land that they've never heard of. They thought that we lived in country fields in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by no civilization whatsoever. And they asked us...
Sorry, that's leash, you're thinking?
And they asked us, do you guys have, like, neighbours and stuff? There were also another night in Slovenia where we were out in a pub and there was a Premier League classic match on from like 10 years ago. Me and one of the lads were watching it for a bit and then one of the D4 lads we had previously met came up to us and tried to explain to us that the match on the telly was not a live match and that had happened 10 years ago. I was just thinking to myself, how fucking thick are these lads? They honestly thought we lived in ditches and had no clue about anything just because we didn't go to a private school or weren't from Dublin. This doesn't mean all private school pupils are wankers, as I have some friends who went to private school. They're all sound. But just some of them just think their shit smells better than the rest of us. And that comes in from Shane. Listen, allegedly. You know, we're not going to discriminate against private school or public school here. Like, we're just giving people's opinions on it. As we gave our own opinions a couple of weeks ago, which did discriminate.
Owen emailed on the topic of mispronounced and misspelled town names. Thank you, Owen. I was driving out of Feathert last week, heading to the beautiful town of Kerr, and I know the road well, no problem. I also knew I had to go through the village of Paulmucca on the way. When I was on the way over, heading out of Feathert, I looked at the sign on the side of the road, and it read, Paulnamocki. I had travelled this road loads of times and this was the first time I noticed this. I thought the spelling looked strange to me and I just drove on. Then when I was driving into Paulmucca, the sign read, Paulmucca. I always would have considered this to be the correct spelling of it. It was strange to see that there are two spellings of a place as small as Paulmucca. I suppose you learn something new every day, up tip, up riding. It's Paulmucca. Yes, the sign coming out of Feathert.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Paulnamocki. Pig's hole.
Bastards. We'll have to get the official spokesperson for Paulmucca, Andy Maloney, back on to address this. Yeah. He was on the Extra podcast last week. We should have asked him. The boom Anonymous said, love this topic. I was listening to the podcast episode 119 the other day about the whole boom and the good old days. When the topic came up about exotic foreign people arriving in Ireland, I thought I'd share my story. I am from Roscrea myself, and my dad was the first ones to arrive in Ireland for work around 2007, where he found a job in construction. After 2 years, my family decided to visit my dad for holidays. Long story short, my mam loved the place so much we ended up never going back home, and we ended up living in Roscrea. The whole situation with the backpacks and the fact that every foreign person wears one, I'm not sure on what other people have in the bags, but my dad had one too, and for work he used to bring it with him, but unfortunately it was just his packed lunch and his uniform bits such as shoes and gloves. I wish it was a bag of money he was carrying. It is hard for people to move away from their countries, especially when you have to learn a new language. I was lucky enough to pick it up very quickly, as I believe the harder your language is, the easier it is for you to learn a new one. I'm now living in Dublin, working for a multinational company, and it's all thanks to my fluent English from when I started in second class in primary school.
In Roscrea?
In Roscrea, yeah. There you go, boy.
Yeah. Where did he say his dad is from? He didn't?
He doesn't. She doesn't, yeah.
I love the mix of the tip foreign accent.
Yeah, that's brilliant. The hybrid
accent, yeah. I also don't believe what's in the suit, in the rucksack.
No,
yeah.
Listen, I know, like,
we know it's like 10 to 15 grand cash. Yeah. You're just saying it was shoes.
You're not fooling
sandwiches.
Us.
Yeah, come on.
You're not fooling us. Nobody's fooling us. We know it was a bag of money.
Thank you for that. On hashtag save our chicken rolls, Killian emailed to say a quick message there. Shout out to Tierney's shop in Tuller Road, Ennis, County Clare, for dishing out the chicken rolls for €3.80 on the banner.
Mick has emailed us. He's irate. He's calling out Kilcullen Services, Circle K on the M9 at €4.60 for a chicken fillet roll without the chicken.
What?
Ask for a chicken fillet roll with a bit of relish, bacon and crispy onion just after going for 10 now and cop there's no chicken in it.
Outrageous!
Oh, that is indefensible.
You'd probably be within your right to go back in and smash the place up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Your Honour, there was no chicken in the chicken fillet roll.
Case dismissed.
Yeah, I kicked a dog through the window. But, like, again,
we don't condone animal cruelty here either.
Another listener said, got a chicken roll with one topping and no sauce at Junction 8 Casha service station. It was €4.50.
Outrageous! And Natalie emailed and said, in relation to Save Our Chicken Roll campaign, I've one for you. Central on Grand Parade and Patrick Street. They've got the same owners in Cork City. If you go into the shop, you get a large chicken fillet roll with two toppings and a bottle of water for €4.50.
Nice.
But if you want to order it online and collect it or get it delivered by Deliveroo, the roll is an outrageous price of €6 with no toppings. And if you want any toppings, it's €1 per topping.
Ooh.
Then the delivery charge on top of that. Bear in mind, that order is literally going from Grand Parade or Patrick Street to the same street as the RTE studios in Cork. That's not fair. Hashtag outrageous.
And needs
ridiculous. Carry on.
A few years ago, I was in Sligo for college and I was living near to a shop with a deli. I don't want to name it because, you know, people in Sligo will definitely know where I'm on about. So I used to get a fair amount of rolls there. Fast forward to 2020, a few months ago, I was cleaning out my room and came across a handbag I used to use and had a few receipts in it. I looked through them and saw one for a chicken fillet roll. Niamh, why do you have receipts from a chicken fillet roll from like 5 years ago? Anyway, the price on it was €12. Because I just used the tap on my card and never really listened to the price, I never noticed until now. So years later, it obviously was a mistake, but it's still mental and I highly doubt the taste was worth €12. I'm so annoyed, especially because surely the worker or the shopkeeper scanning it would have noticed a roll and a drink should not come to €12. Not unless that drink was like a bottle of Moët.
Even at that.
Outrageous! One more, go on.
Lastly, Kevin, Centre and Palace Green, €4.10 for a small chicken roll.
What?
Nearly died, he says.
What?
He says 2020
what?
Has got more horrifying.
What?
Up Limerick, up Brighton.
Outrageous!
Right, who's going to get the two Johnny's podcast mug?
Someone's
this
getting
week?
A hiding about these prices.
Jesus, we what? Are going to just start fucking delis up all over the country.
Okay. What?
Little John there from featured on an Usher track. Who's going to win the Two Johnny's mug? Sponsored by KC Sports, but you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merch and there's new merch dropping very shortly.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
I like Emer's firework story, and I like Cuiva's story of standing up for her, the Austrian runner. So 50-50.
Maura, you know we want to give it to the ridiculous person. Now you've included somebody.
Yeah, you've given us something wholesome. That's not what this podcast is about. It's the mayhem we like. The guy who set fire to a field with his firework. You're getting the mug.
Yeah.
Cuiva, what you're doing as well is very nice, and we also appreciate that. But
yeah,
like,
social justice is, you know, for humanity. It's not for mugs.
Yes, yes, yes.
So,
Firework Lady, you can contact podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details, and we'll get your mug sent out as quickly as is humanly possible.
Now,
the weekly roundup. What's been going on this week?
Nothing.
Nothing, you know, to talk about, but a lot behind the scenes. Our club championship, first of all, has come to an end. A sad end, you know, in bad circumstances.
Long story short, ladies and gents, there's four teams in the group. We were on joint second place with the team we were supposed to play. We needed bottom place to beat top place. They gave a walkover, which meant our game was pointless and the opposition gave us a forfeit. So our season ends. One loss, one win, and we get a text saying the season is over. We don't even get to go for pints and slag all the young fellas.
Yeah.
And ruin their lives. Like,
I sat at home last night thinking, like, trained for a long time for that and it's all over now.
Yeah.
Waste of time. Pre-season starts again.
I can't believe, is that it? Are we back in pre-season now, like?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, we won't have a game for 6 months.
Unless you want to play the junior football, but, you know, I'm not really feeling that at present.
They don't need my skills.
No, my management career will go to the forefront now. Semi-final next week. We're moving on up.
Okay.
Come on, the Slashers.
I got roped into coach the under-10s.
Yeah. What are you at, like?
God, some hard shit.
There's nothing to be taken from that. Like, lads going around chasing frogs and stuff.
Johnny, there was a drill. He set up a drill. Berzo's the coach. And, like, I was trying to show a young lad how to, like, raise the ball. And I turn around. One guy was pissing. And I'm like, two hands on it. I'm like, no, not you. I swear to God. But just for people, you know, there's a few guys who are natural, and then there's a few people who are like really going to struggle. Sport's just probably maybe not for them, or that sport. And there's guys in the middle who need to learn the basics now in the next year or two, or else they're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't have enough helpers.
It's a thankless job. At least the lads I'm talking to, like, I can communicate with them. I think I would just go crazy with kids that young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find out all about it on the extra podcast this week, where we talked about kids and how annoying they are. Also this week, I've been watching, like, Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're getting married.
I don't know when at the moment, because the Rona looks like another wedding is going to be put back. But, just watching that, it's been a slow week. Like, it's crazy though. So, like, they've got, like, Say Yes to the Dress, right? Where women go in and, you know, pick out a dress.
Yeah.
And they've got an American one, an English one, and an Irish one.
Okay.
And I was watching the US one first, and then the Irish one came on after. Now, I'm not sitting down by myself, right? Bear in mind, I'm watching this with the other half. The American one's gas though, compared to the Irish. Like, the American bride's trying on a dress, and no matter how shy it looks on them, and God forbid, like, it does look shy on some of them. They come out and they're like, oh my God, what do you guys think? And then instantly, the 200 people that they brought with them, who all seem to be brothers and sisters, they must have been in some riding in America, and they all just instantly burst into tears.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you look amazing. And it's like, you don't. Like,
you're so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, they're all like, you're beautiful. Oh my God, Shania, you're fantastic. And then, like, the Irish one comes out, and she doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
She walks in, and then, like, straight away her mother's like, don't like that on you, Siobhan. You know, it does nothing for your figure now. It does nothing for your figure. Like, and everybody's thinking in their head, like, yeah, you shouldn't have had that chicken roll beforehand, Sharon. Come on. And the Irish one is hosted by your man Frank.
Yeah.
Frank is we done something with him before, didn't we?
Why does he pronounce it like that?
I don't know, it's Frank to me anyway.
Frank, how are you, Frank?
I kept saying that. I was like, your man Frank is gas, and he's like, it's Frank. I was like, yeah, Frank, like, fucking gas.
Oh, man. He's not French.
No, I don't think he is. He's not French, Mara, is he?
No, you know, he's Irish.
Yeah. Well, can you call me Jean from now on?
Jean Valjean.
Two Johnnies.
But, like, just the other subtle difference I noticed in the the American brides are all about, like, you know, how can I make this, you know, ceremony so special? They're like, oh my God, I want like clowns and I want like animals and I want magicians. Like in Ireland, that's just bringing your in-laws. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've
seen your Uncle Mick drink 6 litres of whiskey and make him disappear in 10 minutes. That man's a fucking magician. So I think I'll knock that in the head for next week. I'm not really enjoying it.
What?
The watch and say yes to the dress. I'm out of wedding mode now.
Has she got the dress?
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah, I know. Listen, you know, this wedding being cancelled now again, like, she reckons it might be gone out of date. I said, is it why? She said, yeah. I said, it's not gone out of date then. In the hell. God, I'm thinking about just getting married in the backyard at this stage. Fucking sick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Don't give a shit anymore. Probably edit that out.
Thank you to everybody who has signed up for the extra podcast on Thursdays. Lots of extra cracking mayhem, extra two Johnnies in your ears. On this week's extra podcast, number 21, I had an important question for Trish. Am I like your second son now?
Johnny, big time. I want to get your children's allowance now if I can.
He's well gone, has children's allowance. Did you listen to Monday's podcast?
I did, Bigar.
It was basically, he went over to Bird Vintage Week and that he danced so much that Lucy had to be put onto a plane in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh, that was unreal. That was actually Joe Dolan.
Well, how much would it have been to go see Joe Dolan?
Back in the day, I'd say it was about £7.
Jeez.
Yeah.
£7.
And was there women like throwing their knickers at Joe?
Yeah, the older ones, like the desperate ones. we were the youngsters, like, you know, we were the cool ones.
Well, did you ever throw your knickers at Joe?
Oh, Jesus, I didn't, Johnny.
She kept her knickers on. Thank you very much, Johnny. That's my mother you're talking about. Now, our guest this week is someone who packed in a PR job to make it big on social media and in the foodie world. He loves Enya, Princess Diana and the Sesh. James Kavanagh, you are welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So, just in case there's anyone living under a rock, how would you like to introduce yourself or describe it yourself, what you do?
I am Ireland's biggest OnlyFans model.
Yes!
200 euro a month to subscribe.
I'm really sexy. Oh my God, what am I? Jesus, I don't know. I present a few things, a few bits and bobs. My name is James Kavanagh. I have Ireland's most followed cat. Her name is Princess Diana Kavanagh. I'm probably more known for owning her.
Yeah.
And I have a cookbook called The Curabini Cookbook. Yeah. So I have fingers in many pies, if you know what I mean. But I have to say, I got a text from your lovely producer last week. Mm. And I was weirdly coincidentally in the car with my family and two Johnnies come up. And my mum was telling my boyfriend about this story of my sister when my sister's in her 40s now, but back in the day, they were having coddle around the dinner table. Have you ever had coddle? It's a Dublin thing.
Yeah.
Vile. And my sister was, you know, she was like 7 or 8 and they were sitting around in the thing in the middle and the sausage skin kind of come off. It's the most horrendous thing in the world. So this sausage skin is like floating and my sister picks it and goes, it looks like a Johnny. And my dad went berserk. But it was literally, your producer texted me as soon as my mum told that story. So yeah.
It's
hello to Johnny.
So you're passing us today because you were down in Love Tropical Cork.
Yes, the real capital.
Curabini. You love Cork. So your connection is your man William is from down there.
Yes.
And your food company is called Curabini.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it public knowledge that you're thinking of moving down there?
It is. I always talk about how much I love it. At the moment we're looking for a house down there. So if anyone has any leads, let me know.
Sherry Fitzgerald just good fucking typing like mad now.
I'll do some Instagram posts if you give me a house. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. I can't believe you're leaving Dublin.
To be honest, I'm like, as you know, you go out with a Cork person as well. They are very proud of their county and they're very influential on your thinking, I think. So I grew up a proud dub, and now I'm a proud honorary Cork person. I absolutely love it, and I really, especially during, you know, what's happened and local businesses and stuff suffering, I really admire what Cork has done. I don't know if you've been recently, but like all the streets off Patrick Street, the council have done an amazing job of putting all these tables and chairs out. There's a real, it's like walking around, well, I was going to say Italy, it's not quite, but like, you know, it's like walking around some sort of lovely little foreign village, but there's a lovely air, and I just feel like I'm ready for Cork.
Yeah, it's exactly like Italy, but everyone finishes their sentences in bye.
So I find it gassed out. So Kurabini is your food company.
Yes.
But like your social media stuff could be, you know, you wearing leather tassels on your nipples and then your food is like real rustic and healthy and wholesome.
Yeah.
This is really, how do you reconcile the two extreme parts of your personality? Kind of?
I want it all. I'm a spectrum. Like, and do you know, I was only talking to someone about food and they were kind of talking about how I love McDonald's. I absolutely love McDonald's, but I also love a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like this, you have to be in a box. Do you know? And people have said that to me along. I'm not offended or anything, but people are like, oh, you know, you're in leather chaps and you're dancing to Berg Hein for 60, you know. But like, I can enjoy my rustic country lifestyle by the sea. I love it all. Yeah. Do you know? I want all the experiences.
Why can't
life.
We all have a bit of everything?
Yeah.
No, people are quick nowadays to say, who are you? What do you do? They want to put you in a box.
Yeah.
And try and understand
like,
you.
The first time we met our manager, he was like, listen, it's the music or the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, like,
we're not good at either.
Podcast.
How does a podcast sound?
Yeah. But I think as a society and as we're growing, we're kind of realizing we don't have to be in a box. We don't have to be in a 9-to-5 job. Or maybe you want to do that. That's completely fine as well. Mm. But you can kind of, I think people are realizing you can kind of create the life you want by exploring loads of different, you know, types of earning a living or whatever. Whatever you're into.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And do you have an approach for your social media content or like any kind of strategy, or is it just...
No.
I
don't have a strategy for life, and I feel really kind of shite, you know. I do these talks in college and stuff and they're like, you know, tell us what your 5-year plan was. Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what my 5-year plan. I was locked 5 minutes ago. So, but like, I don't have like this strategy type thing. I just kind of I feel very lucky. Like from I got like enough points to do basket weaving on the Aran Islands for my leaving cert. No joke. It was the only course I could do. But
did you
like,
do it?
I wish I did it. Yeah. Like, I would, like, no, I didn't. And I'm raging. I imagine like being like Peg Sayers on a wall. Yeah. Like, it sounds very idyllic.
Kurabini baskets.
Very Kurabini baskets. Yeah. But like, I got really shit points and then I just fell into a PR job. Then I fell into kind of, you know, doing stuff online. So I feel like I've just kind of been a salmon, not even going upstream. That's too much effort. I've just been going backwards down the stream.
All over.
But luckily I've landed into nice things.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in that sense.
Working in PR must have been handy enough for like, you know, like same as us, you do some branded content or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know both sides of it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good thing to do. And I think for anyone who is unsure of what to do, I always recommend doing marketing or PR because you learn how to sell a story or tell a story or sell a product. And that's applicable to every way of life.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone out there that's unsure of what to do, do maybe a quick PR course or communications even, because isn't life storytelling?
Yeah. If you can get on with people, you'd surely earn a living in some way. That's
That's
what my mother used to tell me. I never believed her.
You were talking about giving talks there in schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you come in, life coach.
Life coach James. Life coach Kavanagh.
Coach Kavanagh.
The other one.
You were telling us though about your own school experience.
Yes.
So you're half a Colchie.
Half Colchie.
Went to school in Westmeath.
Yeah.
Boarding school,
yeah.
What, we actually did a topic on boarding school. Like, did you enjoy boarding school?
I had the time of my life in boarding school. Oh my God. I went...
In Westmeath?
In Westmeath, in the middle of nowhere. Hay bales and all. Like, the full whack. But I didn't have the best, like, start to my life, I guess, school life. Primary school was the best time of my life. The academic work was easy. Like, it was, you know, it was 1+1, Tara and Ben. It was like, it was my level of academia. I loved it. So I had the best time ever. And it was a mixed school. I had my girls, had the boys. I was like getting all the parts in the drama. So it was just great. But then I remember, then I went to an all-boys school and suddenly everything changed. It was like, I was a real happy little gayling, skipped into the school, and it was like, oh, hang on, is he a gay? That's a no-no. So I kind of, there was a bit of a homophobic start to my school life. I was quite badly bullied. There was this one guy who used to bully me a lot, and on reflection, I always say he'd be amazing at marketing or something, because the kind of the efforts he went to bully me, it was so creative.
What?
Like, there, you know, he'd put things, letters to my locker. He'd write about me on the walls. And I remember one day, actually, and this kind of changed everything, my perspective. He filled out this survey. And, like, it sounds gas, but at the time, I was really uncomfortable with who I was. Mm. I wasn't ready to come out. I didn't even know if I was gay myself. I fancied Buffy. But then also I fancied Dunnacha O'Callaghan. So there was, I was confused, So I remember... He made this survey. It was, how gay is James? And he made it, you know those Bic pens with the four colours?
Yeah.
So he made it and ticked different colours to make it look like more people were filling it out, to make it seem like more people were against me. Do you know what I mean? So he had this thing. But I remember he went to pass it back in the class, and this guy who I'm friends with now stopped the note going by, and he was like, here, cop on, leave him alone. And that was the first time I experienced someone standing up for me. I always kind of say, there'll always be bullies, there'll always be mean people in life, but try and be the one to stand up for someone else, because it changed my life, not to be dramatic. But then I realized, hang on, there's nice people in the world here.
Yeah.
There's lovely people. So I always try and say, stand up for someone else. But
that's amazing.
Then I went, it was really, and I love that guy for doing that for me, because it really changed everything. And then I went down to boarding school, and I decided on the way down that I was going to, like, be myself. I wasn't going to hide anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember I walked into the dorm, and this guy goes, this is my country accent, are you gay? And
That's not bad. Yeah.
And then I, like, kind of froze, and I was like, yeah. And, like, he was like, all right, and started unpacking his bag. And I was like, is this all I had to do? And they,
Was that you coming out?
And, like, it was like they had nothing on me then or something.
Yeah.
It was like taking off baggage. I was like, and I truly believe you can't live your best life until you live your truest life. Until you are yourself 100%. I don't think you can achieve happiness or whatever. Yeah. So from that day on, I started to just own myself, who I was, be a gay, and just be everything else I am, but not hide parts of myself. And it was the best time ever. Boarding school was the crack, the debauchery, the drinking, the riding.
No way.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was incredible.
I wish I went to boarding school. Sounds like a good Saturday night, to be honest.
It was so fun. And you know what? Like, this is a different topic and each their own, but it was a mixed school. I don't really believe in segregating school. I think mixed schools are the way forward. It's life. Men and women mix in life. Why are we segregating people in schools? And I think everyone was way more mature in the mixed school about talking to the opposite sex and about talking to each other.
God, yeah.
So, you know, I just felt there was a level of maturity in boarding school that I didn't have in the other school, and it was just way better. I'm totally sending my kids to boarding school.
100% though. Like later in life, if you go and work in an office, there's 50 people in the office, and you know there's boys and girls. It's surely going to stand to you, some young lad, like, you know, who's been talking to girls all his life, like, and is not a fucking worked out all right for us, John, didn't it?
Well, you may know we had a listener write into us a couple of weeks ago. They were coming out to their GA team.
Yes,
so we're going to kind of have to ask you for your guidance here. You're not, like, you know, the king of the gays or anything.
I am.
You are.
Yeah. I'm HRH, king of the gays. Right, that's how you address me from now on. Yes.
Your Majesty.
I feel like we should bow.
Yes. Genuflect. Yeah.
Kiss the ring or something.
All right.
Well, you told us your own experience. And school... I guess the boarding school would have a reputation for being a bit more macho, or, like, you know, all boys schools like that.
Yeah.
I was watching that movie, Handsome Devil.
Oh, yes.
About boarding school in Dublin.
That's what you're going to say about me. I was like, come on, Jack, fucking
And like that, like, he goes into school and everyone is like, oh, that's gay.
Yeah.
Like, and I think language nowadays is more on the radar. People are more conscious of what they say.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, have you any advice for this guy who is worried that if someone calls him like the F word on the field, that he's going to lose the rag and, like, you know, start a brawl and get sent off and all.
Yeah.
Would you have any words of wisdom we could pass on?
Usually my advice is pointed to the other people, and it's about making an environment that's inclusive and accepting to the gay person. So, you know, I can always talk to the gay person, give the gay person advice, but I think it's up to everyone else to kind of make it a bit more comfortable and nice for everyone. Language is so important. When I was in school, the word gay was a negative thing. You got homework, that's gay. Your lunch was shite at gay. You know, or the teacher gave me detention, that's gay. So I associated the word gay with negative. So why would I want to come out? Why would I want to be a gay person or whatever? So I think it's important for people maybe on his team or whatever to start, maybe, because it's all well and good for me saying stuff, but that's why I love that thing you did on your podcast. It's good for, you know, straight men to kind of have this conversation amongst themselves and kind of in whatever way they want. But it's important for other people to make other people feel more comfortable. It's kind of like you know, being racist or whatever. It's kind of up to white people, I think, at this stage to kind of call each other out and maybe say, here, that's not quite sound, you know, blah blah blah. So it's
not used, that word.
Exactly. So but what I would say to him is come out. It's a real basic thing to say, but it's as soon as I did it, I started to live my life. And as I said, you can't live your best life until you live your true life. So I would say to him, it gets easier and easier. And as I said, when that guy who said to me, are you gay? And I said, yeah, there was nothing else you could do then. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I would just recommend him to come out. And you'll be surprised. It's like, I was in school. I was the only gay in the village in school at the time. But like, I when I left school, I've now connected with like 10 other gays. I was like, you were gay? Where are you? Those long, lonely nights. No, but you know, you'll be surprised of how many people are kind of unfortunately not living their true lives.
Is coming out as big a deal now as it was, say, like, you know, many years ago? Like, I like, to me now, it's like completely normal. Like, you know, if someone's gay, you're not even like, oh, he's gay. Like, you know, I don't think you have to tell someone. It's like, okay, grand, I don't really mind, like, whatever.
Yeah, and like, I think even the marriage referendum, for example, I think that meant more than just marriage. That was Ireland saying, you know, we accept you. Mm. It was another level of acceptance, I think. And I even noticed visibility rise. Like, when I was walking down the street, there was like women holding hands, men holding hands. It was just more, I don't know, it was like another door had opened for LGBT people in Ireland. It wasn't just about marriage. So I think it's so different now. It really is. You know, I feel as a white gay man, I'm a little freer than a lot of other people. So I think it's, rather than me pulling up the ladder now, it's about thinking of the other people on the LGBT kind of spectrum who need help. Like trans people, for example, they're just innocent people trying to exist. And there's people out there who try to make their life hell. So it's about me now. I feel free. I genuinely do. I don't suffer homophobia anymore. So it's about me now looking back to other people who may need my help. So we all have to look out for each other.
Do you ever get any abuse anymore of people?
Not really, no. Like, the odd time I'd get the F word thrown at me from like a group of lads or whatever, like on the corner, or a group of girls, I'm not being sexist here. You know, but it really means... it means nothing to me at this stage. It's like water off a duck's back. Water off it, yeah.
I can't believe that still happens.
I know, yeah.
That's fucking shocking.
A little to be doing.
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
But you mentioned the other people in the rainbow of LGBTQ. Like, the trans one must be tough for people in school and that. I think of like the practicals, like around, you know, bathrooms.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Where I feel, you know, maybe trans people are now is where gay people were maybe like 15, 20 years ago.
Okay,
you know, and it differs country to country as well. Some country, like, they're disproportionately murdered. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that happens. And then there's, you know, just there's bathroom issues. And then, you know, I think as a society, we can say, oh, we're not homophobic anymore, is whatever. We have to look after the other people on that kind of spectrum too. So,
do you think Ireland has far to go?
I think in different bits and bobs, but I'm so proud of Ireland. Like, I think we're literally like a beacon of light in this chaos of the world. Do you know, when you look to the clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right kind of thing, like England, America, there's just so much like chaos going on. But like, we repealed the 8th, we, you know, had the marriage referendum. It's like, we are showing the world how to be progressive. And I adore Ireland. I always, like, growing up, thought I'd be like, I want to, you know, live in Manhattan. Like, the second the city girls.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be, you know, sipping my I smoke a latte. But now I'm like, I want to live in a field in Cork. I adore Ireland. So I think, yeah, I think we'll never not have far to go in terms of making sure we're all equal and accepted and blah, blah, blah. But we are shown the world what to do.
Yeah.
And, but even outside of that, you've been quite good at handling online abuse.
Like, yeah, yeah.
People like tweeting mean stuff at you about, you know, your fashion or your content or whatever.
Yeah.
Join the fucking club.
I know, yeah. But do you know what? At the start of getting a following, it was weird, you know, because I don't know. I always think like if you're in work or whatever, you have a little fight with someone in work and then you go home and you tell your partner about it and then you kind of can calm down. But when you're online or something, it's like you're open to it all the time. I often find like I don't really get abused like day to day, but it's say if I go on the Late Late Show or if I go on a radio show or something, it's like I'm opening up to people who don't know me or whatever and someone's like, get AIDS and die. I'm like,
Jesus.
Cool. Yeah, literally.
It's a bit fucking strong, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. But then there are always people with blurry, pixelated the avatars. They don't have their proper picture online. They have, you know, it's Mickey Joe 86767 whatever. They're never like,
he's not the real Mickey Joe.
No, yeah. He's not fucking Mickey Joe ours. So it's you always have to. I even find like people who were like homophobic to me growing up, so I made friends with a lot of them afterwards, and when I kind of looked at them and like learned about them, they had issues at home. They kind of hated themselves.
Yeah.
They, you know, I think if you're a person that's being mean to someone else, you're projecting like your own insecurities and your own inner feelings. So I always kind of feel sorry for people who are slagging me online or giving me abuse or, you know, and I'm not saying criticism is different. People can criticize my work and what I do, and that's totally fine. But if you're just calling me a faggot and you hope I die, like
your bread is shit,
I'm like, are you okay, Mickey? Like, do you want to have a chat? Yeah. Like,
as prestigious as it is going on the Late Late, the next time we go on, I'm going straight, I'm quarantining myself from just everything, all Twitter. Forms of Twitter, social media, the whole lot. Like.
Yous are adored though. The people's princes.
Ireland's sweethearts.
Yeah, you are.
Rural Ireland.
I know, like that. If you go somewhere out of the, like, it's easy to avoid people if you want, just don't follow them. But then if you go on TV or that, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my barber this morning and I said you were coming on and he said, you've got to ask him about the hair.
Yeah.
You were very open. You shared your story. You got a hair transplant.
Hair transplant, a year ago. This is coming up.
What made you want to get it? And
I lose my hair.
And just asking for a friend, how painful was. Yeah.
No, I was kind of, my hairline was receding quite dramatically, which is weird because when I grew up, like if you look at me age 18, 19, I had like Harry Styles mop of hair. Like it was my thing. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then when I kind of reached like 25, 26, it started just thinning. It started receding. And I was like, oh Jesus. So I always said like, they're not cheap, but I was like, I'd rather get a hair transplant than a car. Maybe. Yeah. First, do you know, I like my hair transplant, but it was the easiest procedure ever. Like I was brought in and I got it in HRBR in BlackRock, and like if anyone is thinking about it, go for the consultation because you know you can go from there and see what you need. Some people only need medication, some people only need the Regain mousse, or some people like me will need the actual procedure. But it's way simpler than you think. I was brought in, my head was shaved, and you sit in a chair and you're given 6 needles all over the top of your head and it numbs your head. Whoa. And then you're watching Netflix. I watched Roald Dahl the Witches and it was like, remove your wig. And I was like, oh my God, that's what's happening to me now.
How long did it take?
It took 8 hours in the chair.
Okay.
So it's a long procedure, and
but
you
that's
break,
it then.
Break for lunch. Yeah, that's it. So it was, they took a load of hair from the back of my head and then basically planted it on the front of my head. So it's funny, but it's so fascinating how they do it. Like if you take out a hair, you've to put it into the scalp in a direction that's where the other hairs are growing. So it's painstaking. Yeah. That's why it's expensive.
Yeah.
But that was it then.
But that was it.
Once I'm done.
Yeah. And so then I had to go home and spray my head every 20 minutes with this solution. That was a bit grim. But that was for 20. I was like, William, fetch the spray. And like I'm sitting in like jabbing Jabba the Hutt while he sprays my head. But then, you know, the hair grows back and it's fine
it
again.
Looks,
and I'm
it
delighted
looks
with it. Yeah. And you go in for like checkups now and again. And like I went for my last one, my year one, and they showed me the kind of progress pictures. And it's just amazing. I do have 3 YouTube videos. If you search James Kavanagh hair transplant, and I go through everything. So if there's anyone out there who's listening, I do FAQs and stuff at the end. So it thoroughly explains the whole process. Because there is this thing I think about men losing their hair. They are, I don't know, ashamed or don't talk about it or whatever. Fuck it's like, come on. Like, it's grand. It happens to literally a lot of us. You're fine, though. You have a great hairline.
I'm fucked.
No, you're good as well.
Women, just about. Women are getting all kinds of things done nowadays. Lips and eyes and boobs. And lads can't get a cut of hair.
I can guarantee you. If like my hair's not one of the small things I have going for me. If I start losing that, I'm getting that shit done.
I know. And you know what? When you think of hair transplants, you're like, oh God, I couldn't afford it. But they can cost anywhere from 10 grand to 20 grand. But a lot of the clinics do sort of payment plans. So you can pay like 100 a month or whatever for X amount of years. It's like paying off a car. So if you are someone who's concerned about it, there's ways to do it.
Before you go, the food is becoming a bigger and bigger part of your work and what your life.
That and OnlyFans.
I'm
telling you. We should just set up an OnlyFans.
We promise sign up to subscribe. Where's the future for Kurabini? What do you see happening?
So we're actually looking at we're looking around Cork to move down, but we want to set up a kind of gorgeous kind of boutique guest house, so maybe 5 or 6 bedrooms, and have a very food focus, so people come down for 2 days and we kind of make gorgeous food for them, and maybe do sort of like yoga relaxation weekends. We'd love somewhere by the water, so we'd love a Kurabini guest house, and then maybe down the line a Kurabini cafe, maybe in Cork City or somewhere.
So people are going to come and stay in James Kavanagh's house.
Experience the James and William way of life.
It's going to be all your fans paying to hang around with you. Can you get class gaff?
Yeah, so that's the kind of plan. Okay. That's where we want to go. But yeah, I'm kind of sailing towards Kurabini kind of being the full time thing, and I'm very excited about it, where it could take us. Yeah, I'd like to even do products and stuff like that. Different food products. We began by selling food at markets. That's our background. Mm. So
you're baking. Every week?
Yeah, we have a column with the Irish Examiner actually that's out every Saturday. It's out today. But we do food shoots every week for that. And then we would do certain things with, like, we're doing something with Bord Bia with white fish. So we're doing like videos and stuff like that. So the online stuff is brilliant and it's a great way to get our name out there. But we're looking for a solid place now. So maybe a little guest house or something.
Okay, well, you know, if something comes up in Care, we'll give you a shout.
We have water here.
It's only up the road. You know. Okay, thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. I very rarely blow smoke up someone's arse, but like, you are a fucking gas man, and it's been a pleasure to have you on. I was in a bad mood coming in, and I'm in a great mood now, I have to say.
Cheered me up. Maura did say to ask you which one of us is better looking.
No, she said which one of us would be most...
Would appeal more to the gay men of Ireland.
The gay men of Ireland. Now, see, you've both different qualities, I think.
Okay.
let
him down gently.
No, you're definitely more, I would say, you're a bit more cleaner than me now. I'd be more of a rugged, like, I'm
Do you know what, though? Yeah. Have you heard of how gays categorise men?
No.
The different words?
A little bit.
So I can categorise you, maybe, because you are both extremely handsome, in different ways. Mm. So I would say you would be categorised as kind of more like a bear or an otter. Yeah. And that would be kind of someone who kind of has a beard, tattoos, that kind of thing. Yeah. You'd be more a jock. Kind of, you know, I'd say you were a twink when you were younger. So it's kind of a handsome, younger looking guy. Okay. But now you'd be more jock. I think it's the jersey that's
I'm wearing
throwing
a baseball
me.
Jersey.
Yeah, so you're more jock, you're more bear. Yeah. So for the gays listening, that's how.
There
you
we know. Go.
What are the other big categories we should listen out for?
An otter. I quite like that.
An otter. Apparently I'm an otter. No, apparently I'm a twunk. Which is horrible.
What's a twunk?
It's basically, I was a twink when I was younger. I was kind of a little bit pretty, apparently. I say that, I was. So I was kind of, maybe I was a bit prettier. I wasn't very manly, if you know what I mean. Okay. So a twunk is someone who's a twink who hasn't really turned into anything. I'm just kind of clinging on to my like youthful pretty. We usually, say Zac Efron was a twink in High School Musical. He's now a daddy.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Have you seen him? Now he's like buff. Yeah. That's stubble. He's stunning. So he graduated very well. I'm still clinging on for dear life. I need to get big and buff and then I can be a daddy.
Yeah.
That's where I'm headed.
I need to get to the gym. I want to be a daddy too.
Twunk, daddy, bear, otter.
That's the kind of main ones. Yeah. Yeah, that's the main ones, I think.
We're going to be so cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love this one. I love this.
The
swear to God.
Okay, that's a wrap.
You're a legend. Thanks,
a million. Thanks a million. Love this.
His Junior B hurling team may have difficulty with running with the ball or catching puckouts, but they're well able to break bones. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News!
Just got a note there from Noel. Well, young fella, I am lying low at the minute. If you get a call from the department, just say you don't know me and kick them in the shins. Bastards. I have sent in to take my place this week the one and only Paddy Fong. Oh my God. We are in for a treat. To those who aren't watching, obviously, like Paddy, how are things? Like you've got a unique style, I've got to say first, isn't it?
Well, John, Noel sent me in. He's gone to ground.
You look almost scary, Paddy. I haven't seen you in so long.
You know, I haven't been around. I haven't been round. Noel was, he was expecting the Russians to invade.
Was he?
Yeah, he had a row with Putin.
Or what?
They never got on. Yeah, Putin went to school in town. He would never write, that fella. Putin. You wouldn't remember now, would he? He hit a pet wasp.
Stop, just snot running over your nose.
Have you no realm? He had a pet wasp named Davy Ryan.
Named Davy Ryan?
Yeah, he'd bring around with him in his pocket. Well, he got stung more times. Not a fucking matter. Putin, yeah. Noel, anyway, he's after shooting Mrs. Dwyer.
Did he?
Yeah. Now, fellas know the lie of the land, you know. If you go out to furlongs, they can make a shot, you know. But she was inside in her own yard. Do you know? I'd say he's bored at home.
So he shot me so hard.
He went out to pub, like, you know, he's shooting a few lads, you know. You put down the old air for him, you know. Bit of an old hobby for him. I said it to Carmel, you know, you should get him a few hens or something, but last time I went out, I got shot as well.
Did you?
I wouldn't mind, but he asked me to come out. Oh, just, he was all checked in. Sorry, Fong. Do you want to hear, Fong? And I'm picking fucking pellets out of me liver.
We shook.
Shook as a fucking bag of Skittles I was. Yeah, mops as I mop now, will you? No, what? He's a bit of news now. No, he told me to let you know that they have banned smoking in Spain. you can't even puff a fang on the street now. Because they said it spreads down virus. Yeah. Serious now? I wouldn't go into the shop at all.
No?
No, I skim a few bits out of the messages I deliver, you know.
Well, you're delivering messages for a local supermarket.
Yeah, but I don't go in.
No.
I never own a shop in my life.
Go ahead.
I take a few bits out, and no one notices. I say, I started when I was in the quarry. I used to be delivering the gravel, you know.
Well, we ain't that as well.
No, but I used to take, I had a scoop with me, a cup, yeah. I had a mug. And I used to take one mug of gravel for myself out of every load. And over the course of 11 years, I had enough to floor a patio.
The man found.
What?
So, would she drink oil?
Well, look here. He also said, let Johnny Stacks know that Islamic militants have taken over a key shipping port in Mozambique.
Okay, so it's very important to me.
Well, he said, you'd know all these places, you'd be following the soccer. Yeah, but he just said there's going to be fucking war out there anyway. So. just to let you know in case you're going out or anything. There'd be belts, I'd say. Jesus, to be like Noel at Italian 90. Was he telling you about that one?
Which one is that? When he went with you?
Yeah, we went over to Italy at the time.
Yeah.
Ah, Jesus, it was some crack. I was the first man in Europe to drive an Astra over the Alps.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I gave off on by. Yeah, but I won't hold you now, but in local news, we have a missing bitch. Nora.
Nora.
Spotted in Dungarvan eating chips.
Jeez.
She's a white and brown Jack Russell. And she have a collar around her neck that says, fuck Germany. It was a present from Sister Alice one time. She said, the nuns hate Germany, you know. They lost a lot of money on the soccer. Sister Alice gambled the minibus that did win the Euros.
Did she?
Yeah, so she couldn't believe they got bet by, and I quote, those frog-eating bastards. She said, they're eating frogs, they must be starved. I do all jobs for the nuns, you know.
Do you?
Or you get a good breakfast in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you would, yeah. But you were looking for a dog yourself, were you?
Yeah, I was. A couple of weeks back there, I'm in the hunt.
And you going doing the dog run?
What dog?
You'd have to do, you'd have to have a dog run for a dog, wouldn't
you? I have a dog run, yeah.
It's a coat of it. You want to do it up?
Why?
Yes, I'd give you a hand.
Would you?
We'll put down a bit of cement in it. Have you chicken wire?
I have chicken wire, yeah.
We'll do it. Are you around Monday?
I am around Monday, yeah.
But I won't be around on Monday.
Where are you going?
I'm doing the shoots.
What shoots?
I'm doing the shoots for Kay Heffernan. They're blocked with old bros. They were put up by a man from the Carmack. He'd only one arm.
Go ahead.
Took him a week. Kay knew him from the old matches. He was doing umpire.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
He was very good at the goals, and he couldn't do the wides. And he'd be shouting, wide, Jesus, wide. Do you know him?
Who's that?
The one-arm man from the Carmack. They call him the slap machine.
Jeez.
How many arms on a slap machine?
One, yeah.
There you go, yeah. He'd be causing the Mickey Two Hands.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Do you know his brother? They call him the wheelbarrow.
No.
He's only one leg. Well, Noel calls him Usain Bolt now, but that's a bit raw.
Yeah,
a bit fucking raw. What about Tuesday? We could do a Tuesday, couldn't we? We do a Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm around Tuesday, yeah.
I won't be around on Tuesday. I'm actually hauling children.
What?
We're going to have Blitz in Salahead. Oh. I'm bringing under eights and Astra. Fang deliveries. Under eights are a grand run. You get 4 or 5 minutes to boot.
Oh, that's definitely illegal, Fon.
And to be alright. Well, one of them got bit by a magpie. I forgot I had a bag of magpies in the boot extra.
For
the gun club. He fucking told his mother and all. Mammy, I was in the boot. But I tell the parents that I'd be playing our games with the children, and we nicknamed Astra the boot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're going kicking ball. Yeah. Bit of fun for the children. They love the old boot. Do you know what I mean? I get €2 per child left the club.
Oh, jeez.
Now, the diesel costs me about €16 per trip, so I don't make much. But she'll keep the expenses low.
Yeah.
So, no, would she drink oil? Sure, what if she got us, huh? But, no need to be buying coolant.
Yeah.
I put in a bottle of Danone. It was the yogurt. It was something out of someone's shopping. I got a bottle of Danone.
And probiotic drink.
Yeah, I borrowed it for the extra, for the coolant. Doing a fucking job.
That can't be, be good.
She's still going. She's still chicken. So here, we'll do that dog run Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm around Wednesday, yeah.
I'm just helping around Wednesday. I'm doing the beds.
What?
I'm doing the beds.
What beds?
I'm doing the flower beds in Balubi. I tell you, there's a cunt of a chaffinch eating the fucking seeds. Wait, I give me a shovel at him now, I'll tell you. A shovel isn't just for doing beds.
Isn't it?
Thursday, we'll do it Thursday.
Yeah, I'm definitely around Thursday now.
Actually, I won't be around now Thursday. I'm sculling calves and Donovan's. Do you see the new shed?
No, oh, yeah.
Big as Loch Earn.
Yeah.
And the dogs you have going round, like Crufts.
Crufts.
the dogs are like Crufts today, man. Jesus, if anyone have money, to Donovan. We'll do the shed. We do the dog run now Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
I won't be around now Friday.
Wow, it's on Friday.
Well, I have a date with a woman from Clarehan.
Go.
Yeah, I told you I was on the Tinder.
Yeah, how's that going?
Well, I tell you, I can't see it working.
Why?
I don't like a long distance relationship.
Clarehan's only 10 minutes away.
17.4 kilometres.
It's long distance to you.
Well, you could freewheel down, but just to break your heart coming back on these. She'd fucking drink these if she got a two or three. Like the old song says, don't get me fang. So we might do it the weekend.
Yeah, we'll do it the weekend, sir.
Yeah, would you have a few paratha for me? A few kelpinks?
Spuds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try on the dinner for you.
You'd have a bit of cash, you would.
What do you mean, cash?
For the job.
Oh, you want me to pay in cash?
Yeah, I could get a few bottles of Smittix.
Go on.
Nice and warm.
Have a few bob, yeah.
Would Fong drink bottles of Smittix?
He would if you got him.
I must go away now and must deliver the magpies to the gun club.
Paddy, thanks very much.
No bother.
Sometimes right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. In place of Noel Furlong this week, sometimes right, sometimes Fong, Paddy Fong. In his bootcut jeans. Okay, she holds the record as the first Irish woman to complete Tinder. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Oh, you're going to love this. I have a question for you, right? But I have a bit of a story to read after it, so you can think about the question while I'm reading the story.
Okay.
My question to you is, what are the social etiquette rules for booty calls? So we got an email into the podcast. And for the purposes of this story, I'm going to call this lady Davina. So Davina said, I have a terrible story of a corona hookup. I was in a dry spell there with no nightlife. My love life was dwindling. Myself and this lad from the town were talking on and off again for a while. It was purely sexual and we both just wanted some affection. He's easy on the eye but has a reputation as a player. He plays county senior GA and to be honest, I was in it for the jersey. We decided to meet anyway. He collected me and we went driving around to find somewhere quiet. We were making small talk and I was telling him how I had an induction for a new job the next day. He was asking me about it and seemed interested. Eventually, we found somewhere quiet. We didn't have sex, but we did other bits. To make a long story short, he finished in about 1 minute. He wouldn't touch me after that. I got pure thick at him because he didn't care if I finished or not. He kept saying that he was done and he didn't want to touch me anymore. We fought the whole way home. I called him a wanker and he said I had some attitude on me. To make matters even worse, I showed up to my job induction the next day and who walks in grinning? Only the same lad. Oh. We work with each other every day now and we never speak. Everyone we work with thinks he's useless. I just don't understand what goes through his head. I want to know what you think. Is it important that a girl finishes too? And do you think the power of the jersey is getting to his head? Yes and yes, can I say it, Davina? Just from personal experience here, right? There is, for women, right? There is one reason and one reason only why you pull a jersey lad for a booty call. If a lad has the stamina to keep going on the pitch for 70 minutes, he should be able to do the same in the bedroom. Even go for maybe a little extra time.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, so I have a couple of rules here for booty calls if you want to hear them.
Yes, oh, well, of course.
Can I just say, Maura, you'd have no interest in an impact sub like Shane Dowling or something.
No. Yeah, no. So, three simple rules for booty calls because, like, you know, like they're saying have, the HSE is saying, you know, have sex, you know, digitally and that, but, like, you know, it's not the same thing, you know, sexting, just, you can't beat the real thing. First off, lads, put on a condom without being asked to and don't take forever about it. Know where the condom is, know how to get it out of the wrapper and put it on without acting like you're trying to reverse a car into a tight spot. Just get it on, okay? Second rule, make her come. She's there for one thing and one thing only. And don't, you know, don't scrimp about it. And thirdly, if you do have a booty call with a girl, don't gossip about it. It's just between you and her. You are just, you know, there for, you know, sorting yourselves out. A bit of discretion. So, lads, what's your take on this? And do you think this girl is right to be mad? And what's going through this jersey? Like, how does a man think it's okay to last 1 minute and not you know, get this girl off?
First of all, Maura, it is never acceptable for a man to last 1 minute. And I echo all three statements that you just made there at the end. Your three simple rules are excellent. But I think particularly the last one you said. If you have a booty call, don't be going around the town telling people about it.
Mm.
That's between two people, you know, who need a bit of boom boom. You know what I mean? A bit of lover lover.
Can I add that this seems to be the worst booty call of all time, that they didn't even have sex?
Yeah. It seems to be not a booty call. It's kind of like, let's go and, you know,
Do bits. This is a bitty call?
Yeah.
She said everyone in the office thinks he's useless, so I presume she's told everyone in the office about this.
She's definitely saying, like, they're all like, oh, he's so useless to work. And she said, well, he's useless in bed as well.
He's useless in the backseat of the car.
But if they didn't have sex, like, what? Like, I'm guessing by this, she gave him...
Oral or
a hand shandy, and then like he came and was like, oh, I can't be arse fingering, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you can't be doing that, pal.
This is like, you know, when you get the ball and you hand pass it on to the next guy, you don't just stand there.
Yeah, you gotta follow it up.
Yeah, you gotta look for the return pass. Okay, so booty calls, I would definitely say wrap it up. There's probably funny etiquette in that if you're like just hooking up. So unless you're very open and able to say to somebody, you're having a bit of crack, a bit of texting, like, lads, after, you know, how do you know what the other person is looking for? It's like, who's going to say it first?
Mm.
If you meet a girl and she's like, look, I'm just looking for a booty call, grand. But most people aren't that open. It's all cloak and dagger, like, that you're talking to each other, thinking it's going to go somewhere. And then it turns out one of the parties only wanted a booty call.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking for something like that, try and be more open. I know, lads, maybe she's going to say, oh my God, you're terrible. But like, you know, if that's what she's up for too, or either way, she's going to respect you more for just being honest.
Yeah, I think from the outset, you got to lay your cards on the table and say what you're looking for.
No, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not like, and I'd say if you were to say to 10 people, I'm looking for a booty call, maybe 8 might say like, well, like I'm looking for a relationship or whatever. But it's fair enough. At least you've been honest and upfront. And I think girls and fellas in kind will appreciate that. So you got to be upfront.
So if somebody calls over to your gaff and you're doing the biz, like, you know, did you have a bit of like, when, you know, do you offer them a cup of tea or like?
It's more exciting if you're just ripping each other's clothes off.
You come in the door and be like, well, how's it going? Oh, you're your one that I was talking to on.
But most booty calls know each other.
Yeah, okay. Well, how are we going? I haven't seen you in a while. Any crack? No, are we going riding or what's the story?
Well, I go up and try on a film.
Yeah. Do you try on a film?
Yeah, just try on a film in the background. Like,
what if it's something class, like, and you have one eye on it?
Well, then you're obviously not that into her. I would also say, just in
yeah, but do you know what I mean? What if it's like something you've been meaning to watch that?
Don't put that on. Put on something you've seen before that you know, like, you have no interest in.
Something really funny, like Friday or something. And then, like, you could be just, you know, changing positions. And then you, in the background, you hear like, how come every time I come in the kitchen? Yeah. And you're like, oh, wait, I love this bit.
Yeah. Again.
Sorry, I'd be a terrible.
Yeah, you are the worst booty call. Can I just refer to something that we got in on that kind of letter in? This lad seems to have the ultimate case of post-nut. Okay, post-nut, for people who don't know, is when a man finishes, climaxes, yeah, and then like just has like no interest, almost fear, regretful, I would say. Post-nut is real for a lot of men out there. And like, that's probably why he just came and was like, oh my God, I need to get the fuck out of here. That's what it seems like to me.
That he wasn't that into her.
Yeah, and then he came and was like, oh, this was a bad idea. He's got post-nut fear.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Listen, I'm not a doctor of, you know, booty calls here, but like, that's what it seems like is wrong with this guy.
Yeah, do you ever be like watching porn and then finishing?
No, what are you talking about?
What am I watching? Like this?
Yeah. Something wrong with me, lass. Yeah.
Okay.
Hentai.
No.
Marge Simpson, like. Do you know what I mean? There is that stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So someone told me.
I don't know. In the evenings, I just like a cup of tea. Yeah. What's the etiquette, Maura, like, after you have sex? Does your booty call have to then leave? What if you want, like, a bit of spooning or something? Are you then blurring the lines?
I don't know. I don't think booty calls should stay over, because then you're just blurring the line. But if you do want spooning, just say, I just want spooning. and then be like,
see,
don't make them breakfast in the morning anyway. Definitely don't do that. So,
So just take Mara's advice. Oh. Just treat them like absolute shit.
That's just being a bad host. Yeah.
It's not Louis Theroux documentary, lad. It's just in swinging, lad.
So what? She comes down the stairs and you make yourself like. Yeah,
you're having a nice breakfast roll. And you're like, see you later now.
How are you getting home?
Don't care. It's a boot you got. No, I think, look, you need to. I know some of my friends who, over the years, probably would have had booty calls and stuff like that. And it was just, you come in, get down to business, do the business. You're both happy. Right, I'll see you again. No bother, I'll give you a text.
Okay. So even afterwards, if you're having a bit of cuddling or having a bit of crack chatting.
Still leave.
You still have to be like, okay, it's been half an hour now.
Yeah, go on, I'll see you again.
Yeah, where I think booty calls do go wrong is where people start confusing it with the start of being a relationship. So it's just like, no, that's why make the girl come, that's all she wants, and then be nice about it, be respectful and all that, but just don't be confusing it with like beginnings of a relationship, because then it's just gets messy.
It's not a rom-com with Ashton Kutcher in it, you know what I mean?
Too. Like when you're going out with her, you can disappoint her in bed, but you know, before that, no.
Listen, anybody who's in this situation, watch No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher in it. But just bear in mind that in real life, it doesn't end the same way that film ends, okay? It's not all roses and the whole lot, but hopefully you get your kicks.
Can I make one suggestion if this girl wants to get back at this lad?
Well, you can make it, Mara. It doesn't mean we condone it, but you can make it.
Okay. No, this is just, next time he's playing a county match, find out who he'll be marking. And maybe slide into that lad's DMs with a couple of things that he could possibly sledge that lad about.
Oh, you are a ruthless woman, Mara Fey.
Fuck, cold as ice.
Oh, my.
You are the ice woman.
Shit.
Oh.
There's a lot of lads, you know, going out playing a match this weekend, probably worrying. They're probably worrying, Mara. There's lads around the country, I'd say.
That's some Cruella de Vil shit right there, Mara. That is...
On that note, I'm glad the season's over. Mara,
don't be letting down the county team.
Once again,
as well, that lad.
Another brilliant mystery topic, Mara. Thanks a million.
Thank you, lad.
Oh my god, she's a bad bitch.
Would your manager have been like, look, John, I need to call you over there. Just, you know, I heard you picked up a young one and you only lasted a minute. Yes. Just can't have that in the team. Yeah,
you're dropped.
You're dropped.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod. And you can get in touch by email and podcast at the2johnnies.ie, or you'll get us on Instagram at the2johnnies. Get in touch, suggest future topics, give us your correspondence, the whole lot. Finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time, and don't forget, Yurt and Dirt this week is brought to you by the good people at 48. They are changing up mobile, and you can find out how on 48.ie. And the best news is they're giving 5 lucky listeners each week the chance to win a 6 months free 48 mobile sim.
That's what?
Six months, lads, free.
Get it into you.
Listen, there's a pandemic on. Stuff is free. Take it while it's going. How do you win,
John? All you have to do is send in your yurt using the hashtag Yurt48. That's YURT48 on any of your favorite social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And then good people at 48 will see it, and then you're in the draw to win the prizes.
Yeah, so make sure and do that now. That's your homework from us here at the Two Johnnies podcast. That's your homework. Just, you know, put some positivity out to the world. Johnny, have you got a yurt or dirt, or what have you got?
I have some family home from the other side of the world. They've gone through their quarantine and all that. And they were living in Africa, and he gets a great kick out of Irish people. He's in the shop, and like Irish people, like 18-year-olds going, oh my God, it's nearly too hot. It's nearly too hot. And this is my cousins are living in Kenya going like, come on.
Yeah, it's not that hot.
And can I just say, this week watched Semi-Pro by Will Ferrell.
So underrated.
I'm going to say it's probably one of the most underrated films of all time.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And to me, it is the best Will Ferrell film. I've said it. I think Semi-Pro is Will Ferrell's funniest film. And a lot of people don't know it. Like Anchorman, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
But they're probably the big ones. But this one, right up there.
this one is the best for me as well. I will echo your thoughts on that. I'll start with me yurt.
Go on.
Rory in the Island, who was on this podcast before, has broken a world record for the longest one-man online gig. 8 hours he done. Non-stop singing.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 8 hours in a month, like, and we're in...
I bet you he wouldn't disappoint a woman in bed.
No, there's a man who always finishes. You know what I mean? But credit to him. I love watching his lives and stuff. And
very good.
If anybody wants to check it out, he's on Facebook, Rory in the Island. And he's got a PayPal there, like a tip jar.
Mm.
And
he's doing gigs pretty much every Saturday night, is he?
Yeah, it's class. We watched one when we were out in the backyard having a few drinks. It was great crack. And credit to him, he's broke a world record. So a top man. And he was on this podcast.
So he used to have a pub in Lanzarote.
Lanzarote, that's where I first came across him, yeah. Honestly, of all the guests we've ever had, he was the most nervous I've ever been. So,
do you have a dirt, John?
I don't really. Just at the end of club championship and the GA has really kept us going anyway. Like, I know ourselves. I know a lot of people are probably feeling the pinch and struggling during this pandemic. Like, you know, in many ways of life, but for us, the GA train, the whole lot, was such a good outlet for us.
Yeah, with
no gigs, no touring, and it was just a nice break, and it was nice to be back to normal. Mm. And be back down to GA. It was like going back in time, and now it's over. So,
but it's great. It's a great way for us to meet young lads.
Yeah,
young lads
around the town would have probably thought we were tosspots. Like, but
yeah, now they know it.
Yeah, now they know it. But no, it was nice for us, and we had some great crack training and stuff like that. It's pity it's over. We'll be back.
This will definitely show that the championship can be split.
Yeah,
the club and the intercounty championship can be done.
This is the way to do it.
Yeah, I was a bit too short this year. But
yeah, just extended a bit, lads, especially for junior hurling here in South Tip. Okay, thanks. That's another week.
Because there's none of us interfering with the county scene, for sure.
Yeah, that's a fact. Another week done, lads. Make sure if you want to sign up and double your dose of Johnny's, you can sign up to the Patreon.
And thanks to everybody who's been listening to our latest single, Dancing in My Kitchen. Hope you're enjoying it. Video is gas. A lot of people listen to the podcast, send in footage, tune in, see yourself.
Mm, yeah, do you know what we'll do? Why don't we just play out with it? Put people in a good mood on a Monday.
There you go.
There, right. It's coming up. Our single, Dance in the Kitchen. It was a number one, our night number one. So for me, Johnny Smacks.
For me, Johnny B.
For me, Mara.
Enjoy this. We'll see you later. Good luck.
Dancing in my kitchen. How to choose they sound. I won't be around.
Burger buns, Capri Suns. Clean out the meat on side and tons. Throw another can. Barbie, get spruce, get loose, I'm throwing a party.
Dancing on the grass, girl, I like your features. Bang a bee witch on a Bluetooth speaker. Old school tunes, playing the spoons. Not going in till we see the moon.
Deck chairs, hot dogs, sucking diesel.
Fat frogs,
bag of cans.
Have a laugh,
get the lads.
Don't wreck the gaff.
Don't go taking videos of me when I'm wasted. The boss is calling my phone and gotta say it.
I'm dancing in my kitchen. How does Tuesday sound? I won't be around. Dancing in my kitchen. If we don't leave the house, you can sleep on the couch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Nobody can see us. Girl, give me the squeeze.
Slicing away for chicken skewer, drinking like a brewer, waking up smelling like a sack in the sewer.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.